Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Tina S. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, July the 9th, 2026. And today we're reading from the Big Book and we are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 70, paragraph 4. And we're reading four sentences, starting with here are thousands of men and women and ending with I can find it. They wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. Today's readers are readers of the text, Penny C., age 164, Judith S. P., our backup is Zoe N., 12 Steps, Ilana P., 12 Traditions, Adrian N., our newcomer greeter is Lisa N., and our second hour host is Eileen M. And the reference numbers for yesterday, which is Wednesday, July the 8th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,616. That's 23,616. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,617. That's 23,617. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Ilana P. to read the 12 steps. Please read, Ilana.
Morning, Ilana P., recovered compulsive overeater from Pittsburgh, the 12 steps of OA. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thanks so much, Ilana P. And next I will ask Adrian N. to read the 12 traditions. Please read, Adrian.
Adrian N., the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, the loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, the OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks so much, Adrian N. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics, page 40, and paragraph number 4. And I will now ask Penny C. to start reading for us. Please read, Penny. Penny, star 1.
Oh, there we go. Thank you, Tina. And good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed. They flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves to take a certain attitude toward that power and to do certain simple things, there has been a revolutionary change in their way of living and thinking. In the face of collapse and despair, in the face of the total failure of their human resources, they found that a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction flowed into them. This happened soon after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. With my sponsees and others, we've been reading through at least 4 people. We've been reading through a book that's been on my bookshelf for years, and I never, you know, I pick it up and it didn't mean much to me, and it's an AA conference-approved literature called Came to Believe. But once I started reading it, one of my sponsees actually suggested, can we read a story every time we speak from this book? And, oh my gosh, it's all about the change that happens in us and happened in me when I wholeheartedly engaged in the 12 steps. Those are the simple requirements. Living the steps, not just reading them, not working them, but living them. And this book tells of so many people all over the world, people from different countries, even different continents, talking about how becoming a member of a 12-step program and following the steps has changed their lives, especially this part that says they found that a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction flowed into them. That's exactly what happened to how I describe what happened to me. And when I failed to remember that I have the gift of the 12 steps, I have an army of people I can call. You know, 4,000 people on our name list. lots of names from various meetings that I've attended and do attend. And life is just so much different. I see people differently. And I realize, I'll end with this, I come to realize with God's help that not everybody has the gift of the 12 steps. And people that I associate with, they don't think like I do. They don't necessarily act like I do. And it's not for me to judge them. It's not for me to tell them they're wrong. It's for me to show them by my example that, you know, that God is in my life, and the steps help me to do that. It's amazing. It's a lot more I'd like to say. I just don't have time. So thank you again, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Penny C. We're going to take some names to share, but before we do that, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. Sorry about that. Every third day, so that others may share their experience too. So if you've shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back. And what I need is your name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from, and who would like to share on these four sentences.
Melissa C.
Kelly S.
Melissa Kelly.
Reba P.
Reba.
Janice PM.
Janice PM.
Lisa Joe B.
Lisa Joe B.
Olivia K.
Is that Lydia? Lydia K.
Olivia. Olivia.
Olivia. Okay, Olivia.
Monica
K.
P.
Thanks.
I got you, Monica.
Robin P.
Robin P. Let's stop there, and then we'll take another list. We've got Melissa C., Kelly S., Reva P., Janice PM, Monica T., Lisa Joe B., Olivia T., and Robin P. Okay, sounds like a great lineup. So let's get started with Melissa C. Melissa, please share.
Hey, good morning, Tina. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I read this, and what immediately comes to my mind is, you know, this chapter is important. You know, it's really written, I believe, with the purpose of helping people get over it. You know, like sort of like how I came in. Like, I didn't really want to believe in God. And, you know, I think about where this chapter is located, even in the outline of our text. It comes after step one, but before step three, you know. And why that's important is step three is where we really begin to take action. And the action that they're really referring to in this, you know, is the certain attitude, not just belief in a power, but a certain attitude about this belief, which is an attitude of surrender, of that I'm not it, you know, that I'm not the end-all, be-all. And, you know, and so, I mean, I can tell you, you know, that on my own, I was killing myself. You know, I'm a fairly intelligent, I thought well-adjusted, you know, woman. I didn't have trauma necessarily growing up. I had a pretty lovely life, and yet at my own hands, I was pulling it down around me. I mean, I had certainly had things happen to me that were, you know, difficult, but I was having a human experience, and you know, in the face of all that, something happened to me, you know, and so what's the most important thing that I can share is that today the consciousness, the awareness, the awakened attitude of the presence of God is the most important fact. It is a fact of my life. You know, God entered my heart and did for me that which I could not do for myself. And that's always my testimony. That's what I you know, when I share with anybody what happened to me, even normal people, when they'll say, like, you know, wow, or, you know, you really, they'll mention necessarily the way I eat, or the fact that I'm pretty laid back about a lot of things that might get people freaked out. They'll note that. And I always have to give credit where credit is due, that it is the awareness. I am awake to the awareness of God in my life today. And God did for me that which I could never do for myself. He removed the desire to eat compulsively and has continued to keep that desire
today.
Yeah, thank you. And it is not on my own power. It is always the power of God. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Melissa C. from New York. Next, we have Kelly S., followed by Reva P. Please share, Kelly.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Tina. Thank you for your service. It's Kelly, EYS, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. And Melissa stole my share, which is not surprising, since she has guided me through these steps. I just had to share on this paragraph because, wow, it's just so powerful. It says here, you know, that since they have done these certain things, so what, you know, what is this? They to believe in a power, whatever that power is, that I'm not that power, right? And to take a certain attitude toward that power, you know, one of just willingness to believe. Am I willing to believe, to surrender to this power? My power's not working. You know, we hear it all the time. It's not about, you know, lack of desire. I wanted to stop. I didn't want to be over 100 pounds overweight. I didn't want to be binging and purging 5 and 6 times a day. You know, I didn't want to be creating havoc in my family's life, in my own life, actually, and to do certain simple things. So, I mean, it's telling me here, you know, I've got to do some stuff, right, to have this revolutionary change. I've got to take action. And what are those simple things? You know, first of all, in working with others, it tells us right from the beginning, you know, that we have to believe in this higher power and we have to live by spiritual principles. Nobody told me that until my sponsor pointed that out. So now it's like, you know, I have to believe in this power and I have to start living by spiritual principles and I have to start working these steps. First and foremost, of course, for me, I had to put the food down. Doctor's opinion makes that clear. I can't work these steps drunk, you know? And then this revolutionary change, why I wanted to share this, in their way of living and thinking. It doesn't say in their way of eating or drinking, in their way of living and thinking, because we know that food is not the problem. It's been my solution, right? It's the way I've been living. It's the way I've been thinking. And God is entering my heart. And, you know, it's like, I can put the food down. I can put the, you know, we've all been on diets, right? I can weigh and measure my food for a while until I can't anymore, right? But I can't change my heart. And when I see my heart changing, that's when I know there's a power working in my life, right? That's when I think, this stuff I can't make up. What the heck? How, you know, all of a sudden I'm turning into a caring, loving person. I'm turning into a person of service. I'm turning into this person that wants to be different and wants to live by spiritual principles, right? So if you're new and you're like, what the heck are they even talking about? I just have an eating problem. Well, hang on. You know, I thought the same thing. I just like to eat food, right? I have a problem with thinking and living, and I need a power that not only is going to keep me out of the food, that's going to keep me out of this crazy, right? And with that, I pass. Thanks, Tina.
Thanks so much, Kelly EYS. Next, we have Reva P., followed by Janice PM. Please share, Reva.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. So I'm really reflecting on this collapse and despair, and they're trying to convince me to believe that some higher power can help me out and get me out of this misery that I was in the food, and definitely collapse and despair when I was binging my brains out and couldn't go more than 24 hours without doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And the evidence is here, right in front of me, right on this meeting right now, right at the meeting that I was at. because everybody who had what I wanted, which was beyond the slim, normal-sized bodies, that sense of peace, that the world wasn't on their shoulders, that they weren't crazy, white-knuckled, dry drunks, had this thing called a spiritual awakening and a relationship with a power greater than themselves, whatever they chose to call it or how they ever conceived of it. And I'm also thinking of collapse and despair in abstinence, which means I can be abstinent and start getting into my own self-will, and that, and things fall apart, things collapse, and then I get despairing, and life becomes what we're going to read, you know, tomorrow, heavy going, in abstinence. And so what's the way out? How do I have power, peace, happiness, and a sense of direction when things don't go my way, when life gets messy, when things get hard, when I get scared? I do the simple requirements. And, you know, it's describing what we now know as the 12 steps. So I come to believe, step two. I have a certain attitude, step three. I do these simple things, 4 through 9. And then my way of life and thinking in 10, 11, and 12 gets transformed. And I need to do this over and over and over with things that come up in my life, because like it says, you know, a revolutionary change in my way of living and thinking. It's not about the drinking anymore. It's not about the food. It's how I live, how I think, to stay in alignment so that my will is aligned with God's will. Otherwise, in abstinence, things can get really despairing and collapsing. So great reminder for me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Reva P. from Canada. Next, we have Janice P.M., followed by Monica T. Please share, Janice.
And good morning to you, Tina, and everybody else. My name is Janice P.M., a grateful compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. This is a powerful paragraph, isn't it? It says here. Well, where? What are they talking about? Here, in this program, in A Vision for You, in many meetings over the around the world. That's what we're talking about. There are men and women who absolutely declare. That means they tell their stories of how they've had a revolutionary change, right? Well, and how they got out of this problem. It says, they came. Now, when we read this step, this doesn't necessarily mean that you have to believe in this step, but it does say, come to, I came to. It's going to be a theory. It's going to be a process. That the first thing they're telling us is that, you know, do I believe? Well, no, I don't believe. Well, am I willing to believe in what? A new food plan? No. And the best sponsor that there is? No. Do I believe I have to not only come to believe in a power? A power. It's not saying God right now. It's not saying, like I repeated, greater than myself. That's all you have to know is that. And I know that. And I've heard that from many people because they've tried everything I tried to solve this problem that I have with food and other things in my life. And, you know, what it says is that, yeah, you not only have to be willing to believe or believe, but you have to come to a certain attitude, a certain way of thinking. Well, the first way of thinking that I had was, I'm prejudiced. Lay aside that prejudice of who to believe and who's the right one to believe and what to eat and what not to eat. And so it's laying aside my prejudice about a certain power. You know, I was always critical, even of the program, you know. No, just be willing to believe. And then you'll be able to do, and we must do some certain simple things, but they're not talking about that right now. They're just telling us and giving us the promise of the program that I'm going to have a revolutionary change in the way I live. Well, my living wasn't doing too good for me, right? I was in my thinking, my living and my thinking, I was beyond human resources. I tried everything. And that's what I heard in the program. I try this, I try that. I couldn't get this. I got a certain food plan.
That's a reminder.
Thank you so much. So, but when they did this, when I fail at my own human resources, and I will find a new power, peace, happiness that just automatically flows into me. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Next, we have Monica T, followed by Lisa Joby. Please share, Monica.
Good morning, Tina. Good morning, everyone. This is Monica T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Florida, presently in Vermont. So here we are, and we agnostics. We agnostics, we without knowledge. Subtitle, I without knowledge. I'm missing something. I don't have some information. I come in here with lots of doubts. I don't know. Can, you know. So here we are. We've been going through all kinds of, they're trying to get us to look at things a little differently, to see that vision is not the best thing, that there's, you know, there's things underneath that we don't know. And all this stuff is like, mind-boggling. And here they're giving us, I take this paragraph as a lot of hope. I have a lot of green in this paragraph, and yellow too. Green for me is hope, promise, and thousands of men and women, wordly indeed. They flatly declare, they announce that since they've come to work the steps, they have had a revolutionary change in their way of living and thinking. Yay, that all sounds pretty good, huh? They found a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction flowed into them. Yeah, I spent all, you know, 50 years looking for peace, looking for something to fill that hole in my soul, and food certainly wasn't working. This happened soon, this is what I'm zoning in on, this happened soon after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. Now, requirements are not suggestions. And as was already said, these are our 12 steps. But I'm going to zone in on that word wholeheartedly. I looked it up. Acting or feeling with complete sincerity, enthusiasm, and commitments without any reservation or doubts. So they're asking me at this point, you know, can I wholeheartedly do this, think this way, do this stuff? What? And I love a person that many of us have heard. He says, can we wholeheartedly do this? Can I? Probably not. That's where I could associate with. But are we willing to be taken there with the set-aside prayer and an open heart and an open mind? You know, I still have a lot of doubts here. We're just getting into this stuff. And I don't know if this is going to work. But am I willing to believe, you know, that there's something that can help me and use that set-aside prayer and pray for an open mind, an open heart, and a new experience? And it works. Thank you, God. I pass.
Thanks so much, Monica T. from Florida, currently in Vermont. Next, we have Lisa Joe B., followed by Olivia T. Sorry. Please share, Lisa Joby.
Thank you so much. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, great. Good morning, everyone. It's Lisa Joby in Denver, Colorado. Yeah, I love this paragraph. It's all about, for me, I interpret this paragraph as the message, get over yourself, your will, your worshiping other things, creating situations where we're worshiping idols, the food, people, jobs. Get over it because, you know, for me, the whole attitude of surrendering to my Creator did not come easily. I believed that I needed to be a lone wolf and the area of recovering from this disease and all other areas of my life. And I've come to realize humbly that I can't do this thing called life on my own. It's too much for one person. It's not only about reaching out to fellows and to God to recover me from a helpless, hopeless, and deadly disease. It's about reaching out for help in every area of my life. You know, the 30 minutes in the morning that was suggested by several of my sponsors to spend with God. At first, it was checking off a box. Okay, I did the 30 minutes. Okay, I'm going to sit in this chair. I'm uncomfortable. I'm antsy. I don't want to do it. I'm just sitting here. I don't feel connected yet. Yet was the magical word. Because the more I did it, something happened and I was drawn to wanting to connect and to spend time with my Creator, with God, to know Him, to be tutored by Him, to be guided by Him, to let my life revolve around Him. That relationship is the most important relationship in my life, in my existence, in this moment. And I can't believe I got to this point because I was a lone wolf. I believed I could do everything on my own. In my self-will, and my self-will ran riot, and I was arrogant, and I was deceitful, and I was a liar as an out-of-control addict in this disease and all other diseases. Anyway, that's another story. But I just want to encourage people to spend time with your higher power, even if you don't know your higher power yet, because it's the most valuable. God is the source of our power, not us. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lisa Joby from Colorado. And next, we have Olivia T., followed by Robin P. Please share, Olivia.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for your service. My name is Olivia K., and I am from Illinois, recovered compulsive eater. Very glad to be here, and thank you, everyone, for your wonderful shares this morning. And if there's someone new on the line, welcome. We're glad you're here. And this paragraph means a lot. I have down in the margin a promise, that it's a promise to me. And, you know, here it is. There's this description of a group of people that I'm part of now today. I wasn't always, that's for sure. I was one of those confused and baffled by life. I grew up feeling extremely uncomfortable in my own skin, well before, you know, I even relied on food and other substances to make me more comfortable. For some reason, I just did not feel like I had, I was equipped to live life, and hid a lot of those feelings inside. And so when food comes along, that became a power for me to feel comfortable or to at least hide those feelings. And what it talks about here in this paragraph and in this chapter is a different way of living. And I don't know why some of us have, you know, addiction, and yet I'm glad that God, higher power, pulls us together in this group and in this program. And it says that once I have the slightest inkling of belief and I'm willing to do a few things that those that have gone before me have done, that I have this promise. And they talk about power, peace, happiness, sense of direction. That's what I wanted in life. And I don't have to, you know, yes, I believe that it takes work every single day, one day at a time. But the work now is incorporated in my everyday life, where it's, you know, it is a design for living. I'm going to just share a little bit. You know, over this holiday weekend, I felt very disconnected from a higher power and for various reasons. And I realized, you know, I don't have to worry too much about my higher power. I've got to worry about what I do every day. And I realized that I had set aside some of those practices. It was out of routine, out of schedule. And, you know, just by incorporating those things again, I feel better. And I, you know, it's not so much about how I feel, but it's about that connection to a higher power. So I'm just so glad that these people wrote about their experiences and they give us so much hope. And I'd like to share that hope with you today. And also thank you for all of the members of Vision for giving me hope over the years. So I just am so grateful. And that's all I've got. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Olivia Kay from Illinois. And before we hear from Robin, let me remind everybody, excuse me, where we're reading from. We are on page 50, chapter Agnostics, sorry. The fourth paragraph, starting with, here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed, reading through four sentences, ending with, oh my goodness, they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. Okay, so let's hear from Robin P., then we'll take some more names. Please share, Robin.
Thank you, Tina. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader back in Franklin, Tennessee. Just the surrender, I kept feeling like, where it says in the big book, we have to have a faith that works 24/7, or, you know, it's not we're doomed, but it's something like that. We will perish. We have to have a faith that works 24/7 or we will perish. And I feel like that's what this is to me, you know, that they came from such I came from such a place of belligerent disbelief. And to be willing, you know, to come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. And also to invite God into the hard places. And I feel like in the face of collapse and despair, in the face of total failure of their human resources, they found a new power and a peace and a sense of direction flows into them. And I get to keep asking God to flow into me and to come here and be with me and welcome God's presence in every detail and in every 24/7. And, you know, I feel like I am going through that hard thing right now. You know, we went to London, just came back yesterday. And, we did not find a place to live. We worked with somebody, a relocation specialist, and we found a place and someone else got it. And we're scheduled to move there on the end of August, if it's God's will, and to start and to do school and everything. And I am just, wow, and just going through it and going through it about letting go of our dogs. It's the whole thing. I'm just really struggling right now. And I know that this is a growth opportunity for me. And I did a pro-con list, which was recommended to me. I'm going to turn it over to my sponsor. There's a lot of fear coming up and a lot of doubt, a lot of self-doubt. And I just get to keep faith walking. That's my only choice, and fully surrender. And it might not be what I dreamt of doing. It might be something else. And I get to stay honest, open, and willing. That's how I recover. And just keep it really simple and do, you know, just not rely on my human resources, you know, and let God's power be strong to me. No matter what is meant to evolve this way, you know, I just get to keep it really simple and to trust God, clean house, and help
a reminder.
And just thank you and stay really close to the program and just, you know, reach up and reach out and do what I know works. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day. Thanks again, Tina, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Robin P. from Tennessee. And we're going to take some more names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you've shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back. And we have time for about five names. Who would like to share on these four sentences?
Charles H.
Charles.
Larry K.
Larry.
Marjo.
Pete B.
Marjo. Pete B. I have time for one more. Okay, well, let's go with these four, and then we'll see where we're at. Okay,
Nancy.
Charles. Who was that? I'm sorry.
Nancy, agnostic.
Nancy? Okay. All right, so we have Charles, H, Larry K, Marge O, Pete B, and Nancy. And please start us off, Charles.
Thank you for your service. You know, I flatly agree about a lot of things, but there's some things I do disagree with. As far as slim, slim body is not defined in abstinence in Overeaters Anonymous. If you want to change it to that, I suggest you go to New Mexico in 2028. To the World Service and put that motion in play. So, you know, I mean, I think, you know, I comprehend what you're saying. There's some other things that, you know, before I was recovered in this current state that really tripped me up. You know, vision sponsor, you people, regular OA, those things really tripped me up. And, you know, I comprehend it now, right? But, I have a prejudice against those things. You know, I think we're hurting a lot of people that, you know, but you, so you mean to tell me that if you're not in a slim body, maybe it's definitely a resentment. If you're not in a slim body, you're not recovered. You gotta be shitting me with that. Like we say some things like for a Klondike bar to get on the Vision for You line. And we say some stuff to have people say, ooh, ah, what a profound change. Everybody's share is profound. I learn from everybody's share. But if we're going to keep it OA, let's keep it OA. Let's not say things that could trigger people. There's people on here that have issues, right? Like they're not in a normal size body. Normal does not equal slim, right? So like there's people on here, like we are supposed to be inclusive, not exclusive. Right. Like, so I'm so grateful to be able to have a voice to clarify that for somebody that's trying Vision for You, that heard about Vision for You, but then they hear these things that don't line up. Now, however, I do declare that my mind, I need to be brainwashed spiritually every single day. And I could get past all those things because I went through the process basically through experience. You know, one of my best friends is an agnostic, and we chop it up. She called me last night. I love her. She loved me. When we go to the work, we sit together. We eat together. I give her some of my lettuce. She give me some of her salad. Yo, we chop it up. It doesn't matter what your belief is. And if I'm coming in here trying to persuade somebody to have my higher power, I'm sicker than that compulsive overeater that's still eating. So with that, I'll pass the time.
Thanks so much, Charles H. from New York. Next, we have Larry K., followed by Marge O. Please share, Larry.
Hey, Tina. This is Larry. I'm laughing because I was thinking of Mo, Larry, and Curly, so you got Larry now. we're not a glum lot around here, you guys. But anyway, I'm Larry, recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. So it talks about in the face of collapse and despair, in the face of total failure of our human resources, they found that a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction flowed into them. And of course, that happened after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. So they were at their lowest with nothing left to rely on. That's where I needed to be as well. And it was only then, you know, that maybe they were willing to take some action where they discovered this new sense of power flow into them, which is pretty cool. And in other words, this, as long as I had a mindset or can have a mindset that I'm only partially bankrupt. I'm only partially pregnant, you know. I'm going to stay stuck chasing after a plan B. And that was just the case for me. And you can fill in the blank for yourself what that plan B may look like, but probably similar to mine, you know. And so here's the thing that I know about a plan B for an alcoholic of the hopeless variety, a compulsive overeater that can't stop from starting and can't stay stopped once I start. It's like having a map with no landmarks, you know. I just drift, and I never reach the destination of which is a relationship to this power, whatever that power is for you. And it's only then, so I have to be completely deflated before I begin. I got to make that admission in step one and then proceed and trust in this process, you know, as best I can. And when I do that, perhaps I can be brought into relationship to with a power greater than myself. And that's what I've seen. That's miraculous. So let's hand it off to Curly. All right. Thanks, Tina. Pass.
Thanks so much, Larry K. from Chicago. Next, we have Marge O, followed by Pete B. Please share, Marge.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Christine, for your service today and every week of this month. It's Marge O from Massachusetts, recovered a day at a time and so grateful. I love this paragraph because it just describes what happened to me. And I didn't know how much angst I was carrying. I really didn't know. All I knew was no matter what I tried, it didn't work. I lost 50 pounds, couldn't keep it off. Lost 10 pounds, couldn't keep it off. And I thought it was all centered around the food. I didn't know how many changes I needed to make physically, spiritually, emotionally, until I came to OA and started to learn more and more about it. And, you know, I've been around the program many, many, many 24 hours, and that's what I love about program. You just keep learning. People say things. Today there's been so many fabulous things said at this meeting, and then there's people that call us on our crap. I love that. I love that because nobody wanted to call me on my crap. I was just, you know, the little know-it-all in the family, and I was mature for some reason. To them, they thought I was all grown up at, you know, like 11 years old, and I played that role for a long time. And it's only here that I learned that this is really a threefold illness, and I have to work all three parts. I can't just say, oh, I'll stay out of the food and it'll work. I'll be okay. It didn't work. I tried that for years and years. And, you know, now I'm 80. When I came in, I was in my 30s. And, of course, I thought, you know, if I couldn't get this weight thing under control, I was in big trouble because there was a lot of overeating in my family. But a day at a time, I became willing. And it's that simple for me, just to become willing, to do what has to be done. I'm out of sponsees. I need to put my name in, see who will call me, see who wants to work with me, work it out. I wanted a more generous spirit than I had because I played that game of looking like a good person and feeling like a terrible person because I did things that needed to be taken care of during my step work and to keep continuing to recognize when I'm the one that messes up, when I'm the one that needs to do the step 10. And even after 40 plus years, I still have to do step 10. Sometimes it's just a thought process, and I thought, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be in that place today. I want to be, spiritually fit as well as eating healthy. And I totally agree with the body image thing. It's not about how much we weigh. It's really about, do we stay? Do we do the work? And it's true, living the steps, not just working them. Working them is when I first came in and learned about them and found out what I had done and why I felt so crappy, because I wanted to forget about it.
That's
I couldn't.
A reminder.
With that, I will pass. And thank you so much, Christina.
Thanks so much, Marjo from Massachusetts. Next, we have Pete B, followed by Nancy. Please share, Pete.
Thanks, Tina, for taking the meeting. You're doing a great job. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. This happened soon after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. What are the requirements? What are these requirements, right? At this stage of the game, what are the requirements? Well, one requirement is, it was said earlier, I've got to be abstinent. I gotta stop triggering the phenomena of craving, which blocks me from being able to connect to anything. That's a simple requirement, right? I've got to concede to my innermost self that I'm an alcoholic, compulsive overeater, which means I have a twofold illness, an allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind, the great obsession that I somehow someday will be able to control and manage these substances that trigger the phenomena of craving. And the delusion that I'm like other people or presently may be has got to be smashed, completely annihilated. This idea, and why am I not like other people? Is it because I enjoy food? I love stuff in my face and every hole in my body with substances? That's not what makes me different. What makes me different is I have this allergy of the body, and I have a mind that tells me I don't have the allergy of the body. Right? And also, what I have to understand is no new code of morals, no better philosophy of life, no new coach I hire or sponsor I enlist is going to be able to do for me what has to be done. Right? I'm not pursuing a psychological change. I'm pursuing a psychic change, a change in my spirit. Right? These are the simple requirements. And when does it say, when does the big book say this power, right? Direction flowed into them. When does the direction start to flow into them? Is it at step 12? Is it after I've done my this magical step 10 everybody keeps talking about? Is that when it starts to flow in? No. The big book says on page 63, as we felt new power flow in. What happens on page 63? That is when we make a decision to turn our life and our will over to the care of God as we understand God. Right? And it has big implications. It says we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to Him. Abandon. Now look, here's the fact of the matter is, I have to put the substance down. I can put the substance down by grit, determination, will, enlisting my friends to help me. I can do all that and have a spiritual experience as a result of working the steps. But if I can't do all that, there is one that has all power. That power will remove the merciless obsession as long as I don't continue triggering the allergy of the body. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Pete B. from Pennsylvania. Next, we have Nancy, and please give us the initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Nancy. I, as in India, in Massachusetts, and it's my first time speaking in 7 years of listening, and I wanted to say that I'm a food addict. I use that term because it's close to medical. I don't like having a diagnosis, but there it is. I have high blood pressure. I have an addiction. And it covers the compulsive overeating and bulimia. And I consider myself in remission, never recovered ED, no matter how often it's mentioned in the big book, I'm in remission. So I wanted to say that I've been listening a long time in the last 6 months. And when I went through the steps, the last 6 months I've been listening to secular meetings because I'm agnostic. When I went through the steps 7 years ago, I became agnostic. I realized that probably years ago, I didn't have the term for it, but I was years ago. I've been in OA 52 years. I get quiet in yoga and walking my dog. I hear messages. I have the pause, my Buddhist sponsor of 7 years here in Cambridge was taught me about, we focused on the pause, the ability to listen. I think agnostics are runners up in this program. You know, they need to convert is the message I get again and again. But I'm clean and clear, and the program means a lot to me. It's just that I go to secular now. Thank you so much. I've gotten a lot over these 7 years. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Nancy I from Massachusetts. Okay. We have about a minute if anybody wants to take it. Okay, if not, then we will just continue on. Okay, thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for the second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, which is Thursday, July the 9th, 2026, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,619. That's 23619. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Judith S.B. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Tina. My name is Judith S.B., gratefully recovered in Maryland. Thank you, God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until